vendors and some things to help us maybe put things into focus when we're partaking of this. And so let's begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, begin in verse 23. The Apostle Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." I'll remind you again, when he speaks of sleeping there, he's speaking of death. "There are many that are dead," he's saying. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." And I think I'll stop right there. There's no need to read any further. Let's just keep going. All right. Just to have a few comments about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper has never been a meal that was easily understood. From the very beginning, just the talk that Jesus gave about eating of his body and drinking of his blood earlier in the Lord's ministry, you find that back in John chapter 6, it caused the disciples to say this: "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And so it was a little bit confusing to them from the get-go. And it also proved that John chapter 6 would tell us that to be a turning point, that it said, the scripture says that many from that time went back. In other words, many who were following him, that was just a little more than they could take. They didn't have an understanding or a grasp of what he was saying. And so many of the multitudes that were just on the fringe, I guess you'd say, hadn't made a commitment to him, pulled away from him when he made those comments. Furthermore, this has been an issue throughout the centuries of the church age that has been in many cases a point of contention amongst groups. There's been a lot of misunderstandings through the Reformation period. The Catholics and the Protestants battled over this particular subject, and of course, even to this day, there's still a lot of inaccurate ideas about the Lord's Supper, especially with the Catholic Church. Just some misguided things about the purpose and the meaning of the Lord's Supper. So before we partake of it tonight, I just give you three basic truths regarding the subject of the Lord's Supper. Number one is the supper is ordained by God, okay? We talk about this from time to time. The two ordinances of the churches are the Lord's Supper and baptism. Those are two ordinances that the Lord gave to the church. If you'll look at verse 23, Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I deliver unto you." You see what he's saying? He said, "I got this from God." It's not Paul's ideal. Paul didn't come up with the idea of the Lord's Supper. It's not a man-made ideal. It's not something that even evolved or developed over time. It was the Lord's ideal when he walked here on the earth, even before his death and resurrection. He gave this ordinance along with baptism before he'd even actually gone through the redemptive work that he would go through. He did so in anticipation of the work that he knew that he was going to do by dying on the cross and, of course, rising again. So it's ordained of God. Number two, it's a meal that is intended for the gathered church, okay, the assembling of God's people. I want you to notice a term that Paul uses time and time again through this text. Now, we'll back up a little earlier in the text to verse 17. He says, "Now this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse." Notice the term there, that ye come together. Verse 18, he says, "For first of all, when ye come together," in the church. And we'll go to verse 20, and he says, when you come together. We go to verse 20, verse 33, he says, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together. In verse 34, he says, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And so, again and again, there's five times that he uses terminology that emphasizes the assembling of God's church, okay? That's what this ordinance is intended for. It's a family meal. It gives a sense of identity to the called out people of God, which is you and I. And so it would be hard for a person to follow the commands which are given in verse 24 and 25. You remember, he says, this do, that's command, okay? He says, you are to partake of this supper, okay? You are to do this, okay? That, it would be hard to take advantage of that command or to obey that command if you didn't have church involvement, okay? Because it's intended for a gathered church and it's commanded to a gathered church, and so how could we possibly go out here and try to do our own thing and still be in line with what God expected of the Lord's Supper? And so that, it just shows the importance of church involvement, okay? And it's something that might not be something you've ever thought about, but to walk with God as a Christian is to really follow his guidance of walking with the family of God and not trying to do it on your own. And so you'd be misinformed or misguided if you think, well, I can just do my own thing out here and I can do my own Lord's Supper. Well, you know, I'm not trying to be critical, but that's not what the Bible teaches, okay? It's for a gathered people, okay? Now, the third thing I'll remind you of before we get started is this is a reminder of the Lord's redemptive work. Not only does Jesus command us twice to do this, but then he declares the purpose of doing it. He says, in remembrance of me. You know, it's not in the nature of human beings to remember things well. We tend to forget, okay? It's our nature to kind of wander from what is central and find ourselves out on the margins from time to time. And so because of that, we always need reminding in the Word of God. You'd be amazed at how many times reading the New Testament that Scripture will refer to reminding you, especially in 1 Peter. In all the letters of Peter, for that matter, he's saying, remind you. We're forgetful people. And what does that have to do with the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper brings it all back into focus for you and I. What is central about our service to the Lord? What is central about who we serve? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord's Supper brings that into context. He says in verse 26, let's just read it. He says there, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That's what he wants us to remember, is his death and what he accomplished through that death, okay? So we dare not, through the busyness of serving, lose sight of who we're serving and what he has done for us. If you and I were serving a Lord that didn't die for us, then that would be a waste because we wouldn't need him, okay? His dying for us is what makes him the Savior, and him being the Savior is why we follow him, okay? And so this is a time of remembrance. So with that being said, one more thing before we, let me just read verse 27 and 28. He says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What is the purpose of examining ourselves right now or taking a few moments to peer into our own hearts? Only we can do that between us and God. Is to make sure that we are partaking of this in the right manner. What is to partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner would be, one, to not be a Christian at all. If you're not a born-again Christian, you haven't asked the Lord Jesus into your heart and become a saved Christian, then you don't need to partake of the Lord's Supper, okay? No offense, nobody's going to be paying attention to what you are or aren't doing, but until you come to know the Lord Jesus, this is not for you, okay? Another thing would be for us to be in rebellion towards God. have things in our life that God has already been trying to show us is wrong, and we're unwilling to get them right. We're unwilling to make those corrections. We're rebelling against God. We would be, Paul says there, he said, there's people that are weak and sick, and there are some that have died because for this reason. Okay, we don't want that. And so what maybe you would like to do for the next few moments, I'm going to come to the altar. You can come to the altar if you'd like, or you can pray right where you are. But we're going to have a time of silence and prayer where each person can peer into their own heart and say, hey, am I ready to be doing this tonight? Or perhaps there's something we need to lay at this altar, a sin that needs to be confessed or whatever before we partake of this. Say, I want to get this off my plate, Lord. I want to get this straightened out and not be rebelling against you in this area. And so whatever the case may be, we'll take just a few moments. It'd be silence because these ladies need the same opportunity that we have. And after a few moments, I'll begin serving the supper, okay? Father, we come to you thankful tonight for the privilege, Lord, of partaking of this supper. Lord, we're reminded of what you've done for us, Lord Jesus. And we, during this holiday season, Lord, the Christmas season, Lord, we tend to get a lot of things going, a lot of activity. But, Lord, we just want to bring our focus in on you tonight and be reminded of what you were born. And we celebrate that this time of year, but you were born for the purpose of dying for our sins and taking the penalty for our sins upon you on the cross of Calvary. And we rejoice in that death as brutal as it was. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking it for us, and that we will never have to face spiritual death, that we'll live eternally with you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take the words of the Scriptures, not my stumbling words, Lord, but the words of the Scriptures tonight, and drive home to the hearts of each one of us as we partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine. And Father, help us, Lord, to just be reminded of how blessed we are to have a church family, Lord. It's intended, as we already reviewed, it's intended for the gathered people of God, and we've gathered tonight, Lord, a good group, a good church family, Lord, to partake of this. And so help us to be reminded how blessed we are to have that. And Father, now for the next few moments, we want you to be honored. We thank you for the great privilege we have of following through with this ordinance that you've given us, Lord Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I've got some fellas that are going to come help me.
All right, if you'd stand with us, please. Stretch across the aisles. Grab the persons next to your hand. We're going to sing My Jesus, I Love Thee. All right, here we go. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast lovers loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Would you join me in a word of prayer, please? Lord, we love you today. Lord, we come to this time as a time of remembrance. It's a remembrance of the price that you paid so that we can have the opportunity to have eternal life. And God, this is not something that we go through just to get out of the way, but it's something that should have a deep meaning in our lives when we remember the time that you went before Pilate. Pilate wanted to release a man that was guilty. And the crowd said, we want him release unto us Barabbas, but we want this Jesus who never once committed a sin, who never once offended. We want him put on the cross and we want him crucified. It's a time to remember when they strapped you to the whipping post. That Roman soldier got that cat of nine tails with bone and glass sewn into the end of those leashes. And they whipped you brutally 39 times and shredded your back. It's a time to remember when the soldiers took their fist and hit you in the face. It's a time to remember when they put that cross beam upon you and made you carry it to Golgotha, but you shrunk under the weight of it. And they compelled one Simon the Cyrene to carry that cross. It's a time to remember when they put you on that cross and those Roman soldiers took those nails and they drove them in your hands and in your feet. It's a time to remember when they lift you up on that cross and they put it in that hole. And when they dropped it in that hole, every bone, every joint in your body came out of joint. It's a time to remember those famous words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And God, I just want to praise you and thank you that you loved me enough to put someone in my path to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ with me. And God, I'll never forget the day that I asked you to come into my life and save me and cleanse me. God, I pray that I'd never get over that day of salvation. God, we thank you for each one that's gathered here tonight. I pray your blessings upon each family and each individual as we go through this Christmas season. And God, I pray that you would put someone in our path that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior this Christmas season. It may be a family member. And God, I pray that you just give us the opportunity to share the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. We love you and thank you for all that you've done for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.